listen everybody to the words I have to say. Better get ready. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Daniel White, the third with the Second Coming Watch update. This is update 893. Let's take a quick look at today's prophecy-related headlines, which point towards the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the end of the world as we know it. First, today, under the sign category of turmoil in the Middle East, according to Israel National News, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu accused Iran of wanting to strike Israel with precision-guided missiles from Yemen. Speaking during a meeting with U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin in Jerusalem, Netanyahu called for a lot more sanctions, against Iran. Iran is seeking to develop now precision-guided munitions, missiles that can hit any target in the Middle East with a circumference of 5 to 10 meters. They are developing this in Iran. They want to place them in Iraq and in Syria and to convert Lebanon's arsenal of 130,000 statistical rockets to precision-guided munitions. They seek also to develop that and have already begun to put that in Yemen with the goal of reaching Israel from there too, warned the Prime Minister. Israel views Iran as the greatest threat to peace, stability, and our security, and the security of many others, he continued. They fired into Saudi Arabia. They've interfered with international shipping lanes. They've attacked Americans, and they've killed Americans throughout the last 10 years in Afghanistan and elsewhere. Iran is the single greatest threat to stability and peace in the Middle East. That doesn't mean that there are no others. There are. We are the Middle East. We are. The Middle East is rich with several things, and one of them is terrorist exporting nations and groups. The Middle East is rich with several things, and one of them is terrorist exporting nations and groups. Second, today, under the sign category, if you will, of interest in the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. According to Breaking Israel News, at a parliament meeting in Gaza Strip, Hamas MP Ahmed Abu Khalia decried the disturbances of Zionists in the Al-Aqsa Mosque and their desecration of it. Ahmad Abu Kalbia, who heads the Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Commission in the Palestinian Parliament, categorized permitting Jews to practice freedom of worship on the Temple Mount a blatant provocation, and warned that Israeli officials seek to demolish the Al-Aqsa Mosque and build the temple on its ruins. He added that the disturbances of Jews at the Al-Aqsa Mosque took place during the Jewish holidays, during which almost 5,000 people entered the compound as part of their mission to change facts on the ground and alter Jerusalem's historical status. Abu Khalia called on Muslim clerics to take a leading role in mobilizing the masses to assist Muslims in Jerusalem. He also called on Palestinian organizations to wage an armed struggle against the Zionist occupation in Jerusalem as they understood only the language of power. Third, today, under the sign category of turmoil in the Middle East, according to the Jerusalem Post, Hamas's violence against its own people and Israel is despicable and remains one of the largest stumbling blocks to resolving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. U.S. Ambassador to the UN Kelly Craft told the United Nations Security Council at its monthly debate on the Middle East, "Can you imagine the fears of Israeli mothers who know their children may spend a recess running from the playground to the bomb shelter, or of Palestinian fathers who know unguided rockets fly over the roofs under which their children sleep? I condemn these indiscriminate attacks. We all should," said Kraft. The U.S. ambassador chastised the UN for its biased approach to Israel, noting that its stance was unfairly negative and one-sided. She added that in the past 2 years, there have been some 20 resolutions in the General Assembly, either implicitly or explicitly criticizing Israel. Kraft called on the Council to scrutinize Hamas, which she said is one of the largest obstacles to real peace and prosperity for Palestinians and to the resolution of this conflict. So if this institution is genuinely concerned with peace, we should be eager to examine Hamas's behavior more closely. Hamas, Kraft told the UNSC, is a terrorist organization that oppresses the Palestinian people in Gaza through intimidation and outright violence, while inciting violence against Israel as well. Kraft's predecessor, Nikki Haley, had tried repeatedly without success to sway UN bodies to condemn Hamas, which has forcibly ruled Gaza since 2007. Fourth, today, under the sign category of wars and rumors of wars, according to Voice of America News, Russia said a division of its S-400 missile defense system would take part in a military drill in Serbia, underlining Moscow's wish to keep a traditional ally on site, even as Belgrade pursues links with NATO and the European Union. It will be the first time that the sophisticated S-400s, together with a Panzer missile battery, will be participating in military exercises abroad. Moscow's defense ministry said in a statement. For its part, Serbia's defense ministry said the exercises, dubbed Slavic Shield 2019, aimed to simulate the use of a joint combat group in defending against enemy reconnaissance and offensive actions. Apart from anti-aircraft missile systems in use in the Serbian army, missile systems that are in use by the Russian Air Force will also be used in the live fire exercise, it said in a statement. Fifth, today, under the sign category of the rise of the kings of the East, according to Space Daily, China said it aims to become a great power in the online world and took a swipe at Washington on trade, kicking off its annual conference promoting the Communist Party's controlled and censored version of the Internet. U.S.-China rivalry is increasingly playing out in the digital sphere as Beijing pursues dominance in next-generation technology while Washington takes measures to cripple Chinese tech firms like Huawei. China heavily monitors and censors its internet with U.S. titans Facebook, Twitter, and Google all hidden behind a so-called Great Firewall of China that also blocks politically sensitive content. At the yearly World Internet Conference, Chinese officials talked up the country's tech prowess. "We have become a cyberspace power of 800 million citizens," the head of the Communist Party's propaganda department, Huan Kunming, said in a keynote address. Huan added that in the future, China will unceasingly expand the fruits of internet development and forge ahead from a cyberspace big power to a cyberspace great power. Dear friends, the prophetic passage of Holy Scripture that we are looking at today is Jeremiah 46 through 51. Jeremiah 48-47 reads, "Yet will I bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days, saith the Lord." Thus far is the judgment of Moab. Allow me to share with you some commentary on this passage from Exploring Bible Prophecy from Genesis to Revelation by Dr. Tim LaHaye and Dr. Ed Heinzen. Moab is present day central Jordan. Jeremiah 48:1-46 describes a divine judgment upon Moab that results in a partial destruction, but also results in the people coming to faith. Then in verse 47, God promises to restore the fortunes of Moab. This means there will be a saved nation called Moab in the Messianic kingdom. Ammon comprises northern Jordan. The prophecy here is similar to that against Moab, in that verses 1-5 speak of a judgment that causes partial destruction and results in the survivors coming to faith. In verse 6, God promises the restoration. In verse 6, God promises the restoration of Ammon, and there will be a saved nation called Ammon in the Messianic kingdom. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at the prophetic passages of the Holy Bible in our next podcast. Our second coming quote for today is from Billy Graham. He said, "The second coming of Christ will be so revolutionary that it will change every aspect of life on this planet. Christ will reign in righteousness. Disease will be arrested, death will be modified, war will be abolished, nature will be changed, man will live as it was originally intended he should live." Let's pray. Holy Father God, help your feeble saints below to keep the blessed hope alive. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. If you are not ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, may I encourage you to get ready. Get ready today by receiving him as your Savior. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Keep looking up, dear friend, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let us join in the prayer of John the Revelator when he prayed, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." God bless you.